אנחנו עכשיו יכול להיות שנתחבר לשידור היי.
We might connect to a live broadcast now, friends.
אתם שומעים אותנו?
Do you hear us, everyone? Friends,
Rav,
Rav, are you with us? Hello.
Yeah, we're at the airport. There's still some time before we board the plane. So we can participate together with you if you want us to, and in whatever way you want us to. We're ready.
Of course we want to, yes.
We're happy to hear it. So please read something, let's scrutinize some matters, or talk about something, or perhaps questions and answers, whatever you want, according to what you want.
Maybe we should go for questions and answers. Wherever there are questions, friends here or all over the world, friends, as usual, please put up the question mark so we can give you the right of speech, or put up your hand. First question, Ronen, please.
כרגע צפינו בשיר מוקלט.
So we just watched a recorded
Seemingly it's something we watched before. So what should my attitude or our attitude be towards the lesson? Because it feels like, you know, I've heard it before. So should I look for new discernments, or how should it be?
It's written, I ate of the old, of the ancient. So whatever we receive, it's always things that already existed in the world. There's nothing that's truly new. Rather, everything is revealed again and again towards the person who attains it. And therefore, if you prepare yourselves to listen, to hear something new, meaning you have a new awakening, new vessels, proper connections, new connections with the friends, so you feel and hear and understand new things. In Kabbalah, you don't have many sources, right? It seems to us recently we've been, begetting such things, creating such things. But what do we have truly other than the Zohar and theory and Baal Sulam? These three sources, all the wisdom of Kabbalah comes from them. And also it discusses only one thing, the revelation of the Creator to the created beings. So everything indeed depends on that created being, which prepares itself with greater sensitivity, greater devotion, and accordingly it feels that it's advancing every time, that the Creator is revealed a little more, that he's coming closer to the Creator, that he's becoming more sensitive towards the friends, and he's ashamed, as the Rabash writes in the letter, he's ashamed of his actions against the friends, so on. It all depends on that person, on that individual. So it's good for us to check on ourselves, and we will see that this is how it works. And so if you see that nothing is changing, it's a recorded lesson, it was in the past, it's a sign that you did not change. And so you should try to change, to advance. Go ahead, Nebo. What next?
Next question from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, please. How can I awaken the heart's inclination in our common meetings throughout the lesson, throughout the day? I guess I can't control the desire, so we can carry out external actions, but how can we also add the heart's inclination to it, the yearning?
As you said, it's done precisely through these external actions. If we discuss things amongst ourselves and repeat these things again and again, we come to despair. We do some soul searching, right? What's going on? Why don't I feel anything new, more? Why don't I understand more? Why don't I appreciate my connection with the friends? Why do I remain as I am? That's one thing. The other thing is that I make an effort not to be enclosed in myself, with all this? But rather, why am I not advancing in order to glorify the Creator, right? In order to connect with the friends, in order to make a place for the revelation of the Creator, to give Him content, but by so doing, to build the proper system of thought. Even if I'm not in it, but I should know that this is how I need to be, and I'm not in that, so I need to come closer to it somehow. And then that's a prayer. It awakens the reforming light. Also, when I'm all the time in this demand, what will I have? Why don't I have it? So I need to be sorry about such requests, such desires awakening in me. What should I do about this? Will I always remain with these claims and demands? Where's what I deserve? And that's why, a person can remain very sorry about it, but not to leave the path because of this despair. The more he regrets these things, this regret, this sorrow, awakens the lights. And those lights act upon the person. Who wants to reach the goal. And the goal, we need to see how there's a part of me in that goal. Where it's me for myself, which I'm sorry about it, but it's there, and I'm not the master of it. But I want the upper light to reduce that part where I think about myself and to increase, magnify that part where I think about the Creator. And this all depends on the extent to which I'm with the society, integrating with them. That changes this ratio between how much I think about myself and how much I think about the Creator. And the group, which is the group I'm in, it arranges these ratios, determines these ratios. And so I have a way to ascend, a way to rise. And I need to constantly try to be in all these calculations. So what do I want to gain? What do I want to get out of it? To what extent am I concerned about the Creator as the most dear thing in my life, the most important thing in my life? And yes. For the sake of our Lord, we shall speak peace upon thee. It's written. So it all depends on how I advance, and it depends on our attention to this and our effort. So it's all in our hands. We can just continue. Question?
The next question is from Italy. Italy, please.
Good morning, Rav. The question is, how do we practically keep our intentions and actions towards the Creator constantly, from the morning, the time I wake up, until I go to sleep, above my personal calculations? Thanks.
This is something you need to determine with the group. If I reach this agreement with the group that we're constantly thinking about the Creator, and we make sure that everyone thinks that way, I think about the friends, one of the friends thinks about the other friends, and so on. And so it turns out that in a group of 10 people, 9 are thinking about me. And I think about the 9. And then it follows that I think about the 9, and this is called the Ol Chozer, the reflected light that comes from me. Those 9 thinking about me, that's the clothing of the inner light, the direct light, which comes and clothes in that reflected light. And then the reflected light and the direct light, with all those things, I, as Malchut, am arrayed properly towards the Creator, who's the abstract upper light, through my relationship with the 9 friends to whom who I care about, so they don't leave the proper intentions, and each one of them is concerned about the others, and so someone is worrying for me as well, and it turns out that this is how we build the Partsuf. And so from this Partsuf, we can come to feel ourselves as being in adhesion, in equivalence of form between us and with the Creator to an extent. And that's how we advance. Next question.
The next question is from Tbilisi. Tbilisi, please.
С посторонения. Как правильно держать намерение? То есть какие действия предварительно следует делать?
How can we hold the intention in the right way, or what prescriptive actions do we need to do in order to maintain the intention during dissemination? Or it was kind of choppy in the beginning.
With the prayer. In the beginning, when one begins to study the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's difficult for him. What is the intention? Who to intend? What to intend? Who to think about? There's no words for it, really. He doesn't have the words or the sensations. This all comes later. So, I think the group needs to sit down and discuss this. It's not necessarily that they need sound is choppy. It's not that they need to sit down to arrange a meeting, a very serious one, and devote a lot of time for it. No, it's just here and there throughout the day, they get together and talk about the intention which they think they should make. But in truth, the intention should actually be very simple. It's one single intention, you don't need many of them. It's later, when we come to a more living connection with the Creator. Then we'll have the Bechar Kavanot, as we call it, a big kli called a house. It's the gatehouse of intentions, it's called. So, through our intentions, we begin to discover the Creator. And we discover His intentions towards the created beings, and that's the thing. His pleasure comes mainly from this. When his created beings discover his intentions, his thoughts about them. And so it turns out that we need, therefore, to discuss these things. How should we be concerned about the Creator's appearance, right? In a way where He's pleased with us. What can we do? What can we think about? What to intend? What to aim for? That's it. There needs to be a concern. I am constantly wanting, constantly yearning for, constantly imagining to myself that I'm in this concern that He will feel good. For my brothers and friends, as we say, in the house of the Lord our God, we shall speak peace upon thee. I'm concerned about this. This is my worry, for him to feel good. And this worry, this regard for him, usually, this attitude towards him is usually very good and very, very beneficial to a beginner. Later with this feeling, when we come to separation, then we'll see what to do on. But for the time being, this suffices. I'm simply concerned about the Creator always being in my heart, in this concern I have in my heart. More?
Kiev, please. Next question. Hello, dear Rav. Thank you for connecting from the airport. We were missing you. So, the question is the following. You said that when I ask for the friends, for the nine friends, it's Or Hozer, reflected light. When they ask for me, it is Or Yashar, direct light clothed within the reflected light. Can you explain more? Because I never heard such an explanation from you before.
You all need to discuss this, to talk about it. You should start to try to find these connections between the things we learn, between all these terms which we use, and the emotions we feel, the relationships we have between us. It's worthwhile for you all to engage in that. It will be much better, much more beneficial if you do it by yourselves. I only said it, but it's as hints, so to speak. No more. You should all try this. It's not good, Vlad. It's not good for you to hear this from me. It's better for all of you to get confused with it, engaged in it, to think about it, and then you'll have some grasp over it. Yes.
Almaty, next question, please.
Что мы помучились над этими вопросами, которые мы должны сами в себе переварить. Так надо относиться ко всем вопросам или в целом.
Sorry, friends, you can't hear. Okay, you said that we have to agonize with the questions that we're asking. Does that have to do with does that apply to all of our questions, everything we need to scrutinize, or is it specifically for this topic?
I didn't understand the question exactly, and also I didn't even understand the words he's saying.
Что у вас сегодня с голосом там слышно? Почему так плохо слышно?
Что Влад сказал. Вот вы ему ответили о том, чтобы некоторые вопросы мы не должны у вас спрашивать. Мы должны их сами в группе.
You told Vlad that there are questions that we should not ask you, but rather scrutinize them between us in the group, so that
yes,
we will understand this specific topic better. So, how can we discern between questions that it's okay and we should ask you versus questions that we should scrutinize between us?
After you discuss these things yourselves and you see from your life, meaning you discuss it and you try to apply it in life and this way, that way, and you come to a state where you find that it's not working out, then it's permissible to ask. You can ask. I don't know if I'll answer, but because all of our advancement is built out of questions and answers. And if a person asks correctly, he receives an answer from above. And if he doesn't ask correctly, then he needs to scrutinize to see why he's not asking correctly. The teacher here is, let's say, the last address, right? The last resort, so to speak. It's not worthwhile to turn to the teacher. To the teacher, you turn to only with things that you almost don't. The fact that you're waiting for me to come and to speak and to scrutinize and everything will become clear and everything will be solved through that. No, that's incorrect, completely. It's not the correct form, the correct way of the spiritual advancement. We're not university students. In universities, there are also such things where it's worthwhile to solve them by yourself. You delve into the material and you have doubts and so on, and so you scrutinize the topic more and more, and so when you receive the answer becomes very clear to you. So that's in university. But for us, it's completely, because the scrutiny is in our emotions. If we don't speak about these emotions, together in the ten, or in the ten it's permissible to discuss these things. Later you elevate them, raise them as man to the Creator. Without that, it's not worthwhile. What? You want the teacher to open this in your mind for you instead of this impression of the revelation of the Creator? You want to receive something intellectual in the mind from the teacher? No, that's incorrect.
Next question from Novosibirsk, please.
Доброго времени. Вот вы сказали,
you said
то, что получаем от учителя в разуме. А вот как запустить этот процесс?
What we get from the teacher is within reason. How can we begin a process where this knowledge that we received would start to work in us? How can we start moving this process? Because we're all accumulating knowledge, we become very smart, but what should we do, or how should it happen so that it would start to act within us, not just to accumulate there as knowledge that is, dust, filled with dust?
You need to understand that as soon as you come to a state where you feel yourself somehow connected, from that connection you receive new emotions, new minds, new perception, which doesn't depend on you, but rather depends on the connection between you. And to the extent that you have this connection, you'll have the revelation of the Creator, to the same extent, the revelation of the upper world. That's the vessel. So the more you can add the inner points, join the inner points of the friends to one point, to that extent, you will then begin to actually learn the wisdom of Kabbalah, and not something which is not what we learn for the time being. Go ahead.
Next question from Italy, please.
Buongiorno Rav. Io volevo chiedere come capisco che sono nella preoccupazione corretta, che sto dando contentezza al Creatore. Qual è l'indicatore che mi fa capire che è così?
Rav, I wanted to know what is the right indication that I have the right concern for the friends, and through that I give contentment to the Creator. What are the signs, the indications?
The indications are that I'm thinking about the Creator, as I said before, that I'm concerned about Him, that I want Him to receive from me, from us, some contentment, so that it's good for him. Good. That's with respect to the Creator. And with respect to the friends, I want us, all of us, together to think about Him in that way, about the Creator. That it's all good for him. And by thinking about this, that he feels good, that it's good for him, then from this desire for him to have it good, we will advance towards the connection between us, because then in the connection between us, we can think together about how he will have it good, and then this attitude of ours will be effective, and we will be able to give him contentment. And if we cause him contentment, we then feel it. And it's not that we feel the Creator and how we do things to him, do it to him, but rather we feel ourselves, and how when we connect together and send him, so to speak, we are sending him our good attitude, good regard, and that's how we gradually come into contact.
Next question from Kiev. Dear teacher, I have the following question. Let's say that I want, or we want, to discuss something which is unclear to us among the friends. Let's say that question that I asked about reflected light and direct light, clothed in a tent. I do it in order to bring him contentment. If the Creator will clarify this for me, it will be good for him. This should be the guiding emotion.
Yes, the emotion that guides me is that I do good to him specifically. And that's why I'm willing to connect with the friends. I'm ready to do anything. Only to do good by him, to cause him good. Right? That's what I need to think about until I truly care about it. I understand that for the time being it's some kind of empty area, right? It's I don't feel it even exists. Where is it? Where is the hiding God behind our wall, right? The wall, that's the masach, the screen. He stands behind it. I don't feel him. But we need to discuss it, and gradually we will begin to feel that it's truly so, that he's standing behind our wall. Or after our connection.
We would like to read an excerpt from the document Bestowing Contentment Upon the Creator. We want to read excerpt number 15 from Bala Sulam from Ali 17. Our sages said, anyone who is proud, the Creator says, he and I cannot dwell in the same abode, as he makes two authorities. However, when one is in a state of ayin, absence, and annuls himself before the root, meaning that one's sole intention is only to bestow, like the root, you find that there is only one authority here, the authority of the Creator. Then, all that one receives in the world is only in order to bestow upon the Creator. This is the meaning of what he had said, the whole world was created only for me, and I to serve my Maker. For this reason, I must receive all the degrees in the world, so that I can give everything to the Creator, which is called to serve my Maker.
Meaning that a person, the person needs to reach a state where he doesn't think about himself. But in order to bestow to the Creator, he's willing to receive and accept all the upper degrees, to actualize them, in order to build them up as reflected light back to the Creator, or Chuzel, which brings him back to equivalence of form with the Creator, causing pleasure to the Creator. And this is one's work. So he comes to the Tzimtzum, restriction, so that he doesn't care about what happens to him. And all of his work is in the Ochozer, in the reflected light. So it follows that as the Creator does not think about himself, if he exists or not, to how much he bestows, does he receive anything back for himself, some compensation or so. So the same thing with the created being. When he's under restriction, he doesn't think about himself, but rather all of his intentions are about how to bestow contentment to the Creator. And then for that purpose, he also connects with the Ten. And now truly he has practical connection with the Ten, because he needs them. He needs them in order to give contentment to the Creator in practice. And then all sorts of problems are revealed, all sorts of doubts and questions in the Ten, and the more we transcend them, we give him more and more contentment. Please.
Now, we would like to read excerpt number 2 from this document, excerpt number 2, which is taken from the speech for the completion of the Zohar. Bala Sulam says, as the Creator does not think of himself, whether he exists or whether he watches over his creations and other such doubts, similarly, one who wishes to achieve equivalence of form must not think of such things as well, when it is clear to him that the Creator does not think of them, since there is no greater disparity of form than that. Hence, Anyone who thinks about such matters is certainly separated from him and will never achieve equivalence of form. This is what our sages said. Let all your actions be for the sake of the Creator. That is, dvekut with the Creator. Do not do anything that does not yield this goal of dvekut. This means that all your actions will be to bestow and to benefit your fellow person. At that time, you will achieve equivalence of form with the Creator. As all his actions are to bestow and to benefit others, so you, all your actions will be only to bestow and to benefit others. This is the complete dvekut.
Yes. I don't know what to add. We talked about it for a long time now. The more we think only about the Creator and pull more and more friends into this, and we all do this together, by that we truly come to resemble the Creator, and then that quality of bestowal is revealed in us, which is the Creator. It is the Creator, and that's called the revelation of the Creator to the created being. The Creator isn't revealed as coming from a long way off, from behind the corner, from within the fog, from your subconscious. No, the Creator appears as we carry out an act of bestowal, the essence of that very act of bestowal is revealed in us, and that's the revelation of the Creator to the created being. I begin to think about him, and I'm concerned about him, and I wish him all the best, and I want to be as similar to him as possible, by wishing upon him all the best. Concern, worry, there needs to be that. And certainly, the Creator is in a state where, why should I worry about him? Who am I and who is he? I am an outcome of his thought. So whatever I think, it's all, of course, it comes from him. That's all true. Later, we will come to see how, nevertheless, our work adds something. And the fact that I have these doubts always, for what purpose, why, that helps me rise above reason. Despite the fact that there is no me here, it all comes from the Creator. It's not me forming my own questions and doubts and the responses I get for them, the answers. But, there is the matter of above reason. Despite the fact that all these answers are clever and correct, and of course it all comes very smoothly, very out of my logic, I don't go after that. I build the logic is reason, but I go above reason. That's how we advance, actually. Because that's how the upper world is built. Later, it will become clear, it will be revealed, and then we'll see that indeed it's worthwhile for us to have established our foundations in that manner.
If we have time for another question,
go ahead.
Okay, so Moscow,
Moscow,
go ahead.
They're asking how much time we have. An hour? We have almost another hour here.
Excellent. Moscow, please. Good morning, Rav. We have the following question. It's a bit complex.
Чем больше мы занимаемся, тем больше.
The more we study,
как бы желание именно вот слиться с Творцом, оно куда-то уходит, и это
меняется. The desire for adhesion with the Creator disappears somewhere, and it is replaced by the group. It's as if we lose sight of the goal to cling to the Creator, some kind of yearning like that. And in the study, I always had this issue that I could somehow regulate it if I would start reading something from the Bible. How much are we allowed to do that? And if so, how much time can we dedicate to that? Because there, seemingly, there is a direct dialogue, direct speech from the Creator, how He turns to the created beings, etc.
In the 12 years I was, in which I was with the Rabash, I never read anything with him during the lessons or during my private time with him where we studied. We never read anything from the Tanakh, the Torah either. Tanakh is the Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. It's three sources, and we never read any of it. Never. But only the writings of Baal HaSulam, sometimes the Zohar, but it was perhaps 1% of everything we read, everything we went over with him. I don't recommend to read the Tanakh, the Old Testament, because you will begin to imagine to yourselves such characters, such images, which don't exist in reality. And so I don't think it's really worthwhile. I don't see anything that can help us in that. But for those of attainment, who are already in attainment, and not beginners, but are as in school you finish fifth grade and you have some orientation, right? You know what's going on. So then if you want to read the Tanakh, the Testament, go ahead. That's something else then. And even then, you will require support and explanations for everything, really. Whereas right now, it will confuse you. But I don't tell you, I'm not telling you that you should do it or that it's forbidden or anything. I'm just explaining to you how it worked with Baal HaSulam. Our path is a very simple one. If a person actually follows it, implements it, then it's simple, right? He thinks, what is there here? Friends, Creator, my warm attitude for them, my heartfelt this love for them, right? So where is this treasure? Where is it buried? That thing I can find. Perhaps I'll do this, I'll try that. No, trust me, all of the work is in the heart, only in the heart, and it's written. And the fact that you want to escape to other things, I understand all of you. I understand you. But nevertheless, it won't help you. It won't help. It's all until you truly scrutinize.
Rav, we lost the broadcast. We can't hear you. Sorry, we lost the broadcast. Do you hear us, Rav? We will read the next excerpt. The next one is number 16. Going back to the document about bestowing contentment upon the Creator, it says the following. It's from Rabash, Article 390, Coercion and Inversion. A person has nothing to give to the Creator, as it is written, if you are right, what will you give him? All that one can give to the Creator is the intention called for my name. There is nothing more than he can give him, because the Creator has no deficiency so that he can be given something. And all that we give him is the intention. And even the intention for the sake of the Creator is not for the Creator's benefit, but for man's benefit. For by this, men will receive all the pleasures without the bread of shame. Since through equivalence of form, he emerges from receiving to a state of giving. At that time, a person can receive all the pleasures. This is called for my name. If the Creator can say that this place is my name, since the person said that he does not want anything for his own benefit, but everything is for the Creator, then the Creator can mention his name there, since the man has cancelled his own authority and made the place for the Creator. Then I will come to you and give you blessings. Then the blessings of the Creator can come, and all of the good that the Creator wishes to benefit his created beings.
Can
you hear us, Rav? Do you hear us? I'll read it again. We're reading from excerpt 16. A person has nothing to give to the Creator. As it is written, if you are right or just, what would you give him? All that one can give to the Creator is the intention called for my name. There is nothing more that he can give him, because the Creator has no deficiency so that he can be given something. All that we give him is the intention. Even the intention for the sake of the Creator is not for the Creator's benefit, but for man's benefit. For by this, man will receive all the pleasures without the bread of shame. Since through equivalence of form, he emerges from receiving to giving. At that time, a person can receive all the pleasures. This is called for my name. If the Creator can say that this place is my name, since the person said that he does not want anything for his own benefit, but everything is for the Creator, then the Creator can mention his name there, since the man has cancelled his own authority and made the place for the Creator. Then I will come to you and give you blessings. Then the blessing of the Creator can come there, and all the good that the Creator wishes to benefit his created beings. Okay, by this we conclude our broadcast, and we're going back to watching the recording.